Thank you so much, Giovanna, for the wonderful, special song that prepared our heart for our sermon this morning. And thank you for the worship team. Such a beautiful piece of song that was sang earlier. Thank you so much. Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. What a wonderful Sabbath that we have right now. Beautiful Sabbath. It is a joy for us to worship Him and to praise Him on this beautiful Sabbath morning. I don't know what about you, but this week has been a special week for me. That testified again that God is good and God is faithful in our life. Well, not only that, because this Sabbath, I remember 3 years ago that this church prayed for us before we went to the U.S. for study. And I remember, and I was so blessed. And I'm glad that today and this morning, Pastor Zenny and the elder gave me the opportunity to share God's word. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you so much for what you have done in our life. Thank you for what you have done on the cross, that we need to turn our eyes upon you. We ask, O Lord, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and to give us discernment upon your words. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. One thing that I miss from Berrien Spring, Andrews University, is this. Winter time in Berrien Springs can be really, really cold. The temperature reaches minus 20 and sometimes 30 degrees Celsius. You won't see sun for weeks. And not only that, winter is not 2 or 3 months, but 4 or 5 months. Praise the Lord, I'm here in Australia. Beautiful weather and beautiful people. Have you ever been in a situation when you were so determined to do good things, but it not last for long? But rather, you continue to do the things that you actually doesn't want to do. I remember one early in the year, I developed a New Year's resolution. I want to improve my life, to make a change in my life for the better. Three things, three major goals that I include in my resolution is, number one, I want to read God's words and meditate upon it every day. And number two, I want to eat healthier food. And number three, I want to run half marathon. I was so determined and expect that I will achieve all this goal by the end of the year. Why? Because I have researched the benefits of all my New Year's resolution. I am so determined. And I know, I put the timeline that I have to continue to monitor the progress and make sure that I am on the right track. Not even that, I also put a plan B in case I'm slightly to go to the left or to the right. I have things to move me back into the right track. Well, the first quarter, I was so proud that at the end of the quarter, yes, I did that. The second quarter, I start to, is this really a good resolution? Struggling. I was struggling. And guess what? Which one do you think that I succeeded and which one that I have failed? Well, you may achieve one or two goals in your New Year's resolution, but it is not easy to achieve all those goals, especially when it comes to your spiritual goals. I would say and I would suggest that the greatest battle that we face is the battle against yourself. Why? Because there is something in yourself that continue to bring back into your status quo. There is something that's continue to pull you down when you want to achieve further away up. And there's something that in your heart, that carnal desire, that make you struggle to achieve all these goals. Well, we are going to study Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 this morning. And Paul understood that this is the issue that human beings are facing in their life. That's why he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 20. Open your Bible. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 20. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Sounds familiar? There is something that you want to do, a good thing, a good deeds, all the great things, but you always struggle. But actually, what you continue do is the thing that you hate. And unfortunately, whether you like it or not, your decision in the past have made an impact into your life at this present time. Whatever you did in the past had a consequences to your life at this present time. And it will continue to haunt you, to pull you down from the joy and happiness that Jesus wants you to have. So I would like to suggest that there are three weapons of self-destruction that need to understand, that we need to understand and find out what is the counsel from the Bible. Guilt and shame, uncontrolled thoughts, and about self. What is guilt and shame? Are two self-conscious emotions that everyone will feel several times throughout their lives. These are generally considered a negative emotion that will have an effect into your mental, will have an effect into your life, and later on will have an effect into depression, decay, or even further, death. Someone who have guilt and shame. For those who have guilt, regrets for some behavior that they exhibited. And while someone who feels shame, they regret for some aspect of they are as a person. That's why for those people who have this guilt, they tend to go into repair-oriented behavior. While for those who have shame, they tend to go into an escape and withdrawal-oriented behaviors. Well, we all have past. And unfortunately, for some of us, our past was not pretty. I have to admit, my past was not pretty. The poor decision that I've made in the past sometimes continue to haunt us. There is power in your brain that bring that into memory, and Satan used that to pull you down and to even draw our life, your life, my life, further away from the Savior. Well, shame and guilt continue to steal our happiness in our life. It is so toxic that if we don't deal with this, we won't go far in our peace and happiness. And Paul understand all these issues. That's why he said in Romans chapter 7 that what we read earlier. But friends, the good news is follow in Romans chapter 8. If you open the Bible, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. There is therefore, it is a conclusion, it is a summary, it is something that will transform and change the story in Romans chapter 7. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Friends, we need to come to Jesus. We need to turn our eyes to Jesus. Because of what? You don't have to look back. Because now, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, no matter what happened in the past. We need to come to Jesus because we are set free by the blood of Jesus. You won't be able to run away from this issue unless you run away to Jesus. You won't be able to cure this toxic unless you come to the Master Healer. You won't be able to erase those guilt and shame unless you have peace from Prince of Peace. Friends, it is not on what you have, what you think, what you do that can take away all this issue. It is only in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? That's why what we need to do is to turn our eyes on Jesus, to look up to Him that have done everything for us. We don't have to look back, because that's what Satan's modus operandi, to set away from the precious truth and strength that is found in Jesus. The second one, self-destruction, is uncontrolled thoughts. We are living in the world where there is so much information in our fingertips. Whenever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you can access all information easily. The social media, it's out there. It's so easy for you to access. I'm not saying that it's all bad, no. But it's something that the question is whether you control or you are being controlled by all these things. But here is the question. Is it possible that you constantly access all this information and it actually causes you to lose focus to the important thing? It is possible for us to feed all this information but cause you not be able to discern on spiritual things? Is it possible that you constantly use your brain that cause you, you are easily to bore with spiritual things? Researcher in Canada surveyed 2,000 participants and studied the brain activity of 112 using electroencephalograms. And Microsoft found that since the year 2000, or about when the mobile revolution began, the average attention span dropped from 12 seconds to 8.25 seconds in 2005. In other words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If my message is not really interest you, it's not really something that you really like, excite you, it's gone. We are constantly bombarded with texts, tweets, push notification, Facebook posts, and our brain get hooked on all that stimuli. We crave more and more new information, and it can be difficult to pay attention to one thing for a long period of time. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Many thoughts make up the unwritten history of a single day. And what you allow go into your brain will have an impact into your life. And I like this. Watch your thoughts, because it become words. And watch your words, it become deeds. Watch your deeds, it become habits. Watch your habits, it's become character. And character is everything, because it will decide your destiny. Friends, it is important for us to fix our eye on Jesus, to set our mind to the spiritual things. That's why the wisest man on earth said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man think in his heart, so is he. I believe that one of the problems in this generation is to train the mind, to discipline your mind from the worldly mind, to train the mind and your character to keep to the point as the compass to the pole. Ellen White mentioned beautifully, an American author and our founder, page 7, the greatest want of the world is the want of man. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right through the heavens falls. Friends, our mind is the main gate to the soul. And Satan's main purpose is to defeat your main defense. Once your mind is controlled, then you are in his hand. Satan's purpose is to weaken your ability to make the right choices so he can easily dictate your life. And Satan's purpose is to excite your mind so you are numb with the spiritual things. Friends, we need to keep our mind pure and clean. We are too easily to be satisfied with the cheap things. We like to engross our mind with worthless and worldly things. That's why Paul continued to give this wonderful suggestion or counsel. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The last one. The third weapon, self-destruction, is yourself. Selfishness. I look up, what is the definition of selfishness? It's devoted or caring for oneself. The other words is about me, 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 or I. Since the baby was born, or a little toddler, this behavior was shown. It belongs to me, I don't want to share with you. It's all mine. It's not belong to my brother, I don't want to share. Well, an adult like us, it's probably the same. It's just we can suppress that behavior or can distract or cover up that behavior. I hope we don't have this. But generally, we tend to have selfishness, pride, judging other person. We tend to look down to other people because of certain things that we think we are better than them. And that is hard. That is hard. I like the quote from Stephen Kendrick from the book The Love There. Almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to a selfish motive. Just like Satan. It is a trait we hate in other people but justify in yourself. Interesting. I have been married for a long time, and in the beginning of our marriage, this is the issue that we face. Once you get to know, once you are more transparent and that traits and character, you know, start to show. Selfish, I am this. I don't want to follow you. It's my decision. You have to follow. Or in the other way around, no. There is a constant battle. And it is hard for us to change. Because what Mrs. White said, that it is impossible for us of ourselves to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil, and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere. But here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before man can be changed. And that power is what? It's who? It is in Jesus Christ. The three weapons of self-destruction can only be overcome by the power from Christ. Remember the story when I mentioned about my New Year's resolution? Well, I can say that I have changed my diet. Not only I ran half marathon, Sunshine half marathon, but I did Brisbane full marathon. But what I could not complete, and I have been failed miserably many times in for my spiritual goal, finally I found the answer. And the answer is only in Jesus Christ alone. I finally found the answer to all my problems, to my past, my present, and future, and that is only in the name of Jesus. Well, friends, it's not about defense. Sorry, let me repeat. It's about defense, not offense. The real victory is not trying to win the battle of sin, but the real victory is getting the victory over trying to get the victory and let Jesus battle, to fight the battle for us. Did you catch that? Let me repeat. It's about defense and not offense. The real victory is not trying to win the battle of sins, but the real victory is getting the victory over trying to get the victory and let Jesus to fight the battle for us. I want to close with this illustration. Imagine that you are in a boxing ring and you are an experienced fighter. You are graduated from Avondale or Brisbane Adventist College, so you know things around you and you know how to fight the enemy. As you approach the ring, you are surprised that your enemy is not somebody who are really well-built, six-pack, strong. Well, I can knock out this person less than 30 seconds, just like Mike Tyson when he was young. He's actually about 6,000 years old. As the bell rang, you approach the enemy and you are trying to land your punch. But actually he is strong like hurricane and fast like a lightning. And immediately you are down and you try to come back up again. You are back on your feet and then you put your energy and then try to hit the enemy. But again, the enemy is really experienced, know how to avoid your punch, and actually at the same time give the uppercut, and you are landed again on the mattress. Your teammate, your friend outside the ring try to yell and scream to you and ask for me to tap him so he can replace me. Well, I said, I still have my strength. I know how to handle this. And I stand back again and start to lend my jab to my enemy. But again, I was done. My friend was shouting outside the ring, and when I don't know what to do, when I give up because what I think I can do all have exhausted, and I look back and tap my friend. All of a sudden, he ran into the ring, and he knocked out the enemy instantly. And I realized that my friend is Jesus, who tried to offer his strength, who tried to give the solution for me, who tried to give his amazing grace for me. But for the whole period of time, I was trying to do it myself. Well, friends, this morning, all this problem, your past, guilt and shame that you have, the present things that you are struggling with, or the future that is so uncertain with all the things around us, the answer is really to turn our eyes on Jesus. Just like the song said that, Jesus is waiting to come into your heart. Why don't you let him come in? Do not wait and to surrender. Don't wait until the last round that you gave up and surrender to him. But right now, today, bring everything to Jesus. Today, Jesus is offering an answer to your issues. He shed his blood on the cross to give you strength and give us grace and peace that pass all understanding. And Jesus promised that his grace is sufficient for you. So I would like to appeal for you to open your heart to him, to accept him. Stop trying with your best effort and surrender everything to him who has died for you, mediating right now in the most holy place, and have given the Holy Spirit, the helper, to give you strength and peace to overcome all these temptation and issues in our life. Let us not wait. And I pray that for those of you who have all this issue, open your eyes to Jesus. Fix our eye upon him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.